you may have picked up on the fact that tonight we're going to be talking a bit about power, and specifically we're going to be talking about God's power, but before we can talk about power, we need to have some kind of an understanding together amongst us what the word means. So, for example, I have the ability to change locations, right? I can move from here to here, right? That's... Close your eyes, I'll be gone. No, I don't have that kind of power. But so I have... And so look at me, because you need to see... This is an audio-visual presentation, right? I have... Watch now. Powerful legs, okay? So you're going to say, shut up. But I have powerful legs because they have ability to... I can move from one location to another, right? Also out in the parking lot, okay, I'm going to do this again, ready? I have a powerful car that can transport me from one place to another. I can get places, okay? Good. So I also have the power to go to an airport and get on an airplane, right? And so I could get on a powerful airplane and move from one place to another, right? So you might say, I have the power of travel, or I have power over my location. Similarly, you guys do too, right? You can all find a way to get on a bus or a plane or a train or a car or whatever, and you can move from one place to another. Now, your power may be slightly limited because your parents may say to you, no, you're not going to fly to New York by yourself, right? Some of you may not have that power. Now, some of you may decide to, you know, disobey your parents and do it anyway or whatever, but that's a different issue entirely, okay? Also, I must be extraordinarily boring tonight. I have the power to change my appearance, right? I can shave or not shave depending on what I want to do. I have the power over that. I have the power over getting my hair cut. I could color my hair if I want. I don't have the power to grow hair when I'm balding, but I do have the power to cut it off if I want to do that. So I have power, some power over my appearance. You guys all also have that power. However, seriously, there are people who don't have that power, right? If you talk to an inmate, they may have powerful legs, right? Somebody who's in prison or in jail, but they don't have the power to just walk out of the building, get in the car, and drive away. So you might say their power is limited and your power is greater. Are you with me so far? Lord help us. So all of these kinds of things are a description of power that we have, but oftentimes what we as a society talk about or mean when we talk about power is the power over people. If you have power in your high school, it means that people will do what you tell them to do because you're somehow cooler than they are, or you have some kind of power over them. Sometimes it's blackmail, sometimes it's just coolness levels, whatever it is, you have a power over them. Or you're an upperclassman and they're a lowerclassman, or whatever it is. Right. So we talk about this kind of power a lot. For example, some of you may have noticed that I put a picture of the president, President Obama. So stop, look at my face. I'm serious about this, okay? President Obama is your president, whether you voted for him or not. And most of you aren't 18, so you didn't vote for anybody. But it doesn't matter. He is your president because, watch this now, no authority appears that didn't go before God first. God puts all authority in place on purpose. Whether you believe in his politics or not, whether you believe in the things that he does or not, it doesn't matter. He's still your president, okay? So if you're going to bash your president, you have a legal right to do that. Just don't do it in front of me. Similarly, Governor Schwarzenegger, have your opinions about him. You can talk about his movies. You can talk about whatever you want to say about, you know, the state of the government and all of those kinds of things. It's fine. But don't badmouth somebody who was elected in front of me. That's not okay. And I will try not to do that also. I may have my differences with them, and I may say things that are constructive, but I'm not going to say he's a lousy guy or he's a horrible person or I hope he dies. I'm not going to say that. So just so you know. Here's the thing, though. Here's the part I wanted to get to with this, okay? President Obama, whether you like him or not, agree with him or not, doesn't matter. He has the power to send the military anywhere he wants to. He has power over people. Not just power over people. He has power over weapons. He has power over all kinds of military stuff. He can say, hey, move the Fifth Fleet from here to there, and they move. He can say to people, move from here to there, and they move. He can say to people who are in jail, you can get out of jail, and they can, and that gets them out. He has power over people, a lot of people, a lot of military stuff. He also has power as the leader of the free world. He has power over other elected officials, right? If somebody in the FBI comes to him and he says, I want you to get in your car and drive to Washington State, that guy does it. Okay, people move because he says move. He has that kind of power. He's the president, and that's the way it ought to be. That's the way we've set it up. That's the way we've designed it. He has that kind of power. But power over people is only a limited kind of power. And I want to draw out this point for you because it's important that you understand this. Look at this. Power over people is a limited kind of power. It's a limited kind of power. And it's all the power that so many of us know. This person has power over me, and I have power over them. We have this rank. We have this order in our lives. Some of us have. We have peers, and neither one of us is in a position of power, but we have people who are above us, upperclassmen, people who have gone before us, done other things, whatever, and they have power over us. And I'm telling you that power over people is a limited kind of power. Even the president's power is a limited kind of power. Dude, why do I care? Here's why. Here's the point I'm going to illustrate. That power is temporal, and it only changes external things. It's temporal, and it only changes external things. A sheriff may catch you speeding, and he has the power to write you a ticket. Okay? He has the power to do that, and then based on what you do, more power is assigned to the government to assess a fine, or if you don't pay it, they can even put you in jail. They can take away your right to free movement. But it's a temporal kind of power, and it doesn't change the inside. It only changes the outside. Let me give you, for example. When Jesus went to the cross, oh, yeah, we're talking about Jesus now. Pay attention. When Jesus went to the cross, he submitted to the authority and the power of the people that were there, right? They had power over him. They were the ones who put the cross on his back and made him carry it. They were the ones who beat him. They were the ones who nailed him to the cross. They had power over him. But what was it? It was a temporary kind of power, and it was an external kind of power. But even while all of that was going on, and Jesus sacrificed himself for us so that we could go to heaven, the real power was being revealed right there and eternally. The real power was that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That was real power. Who else could say that? That was the real power. You get to come to heaven because you believe in me. I'm going to take you to heaven with me. That was the real power. The real power was that Jesus demonstrated his power by breaking our bonds of sin and setting us free from a destiny with hell, of hell, and giving us a destiny in heaven. That was the real power. It looked like one person had the power, but somebody else had the power entirely. It was a completely separate power. So what is power? Here's my definition of power. Power is the ability to do or to change. I didn't put it up there. Power is the ability to do or to change. If you can do stuff, you have power. If you can change stuff, you have power. But true power is to do or to change things that are eternal instead of temporal. And to do or to change things that are outside of what normal people can do. Normal people have the power to get a haircut. But Jesus had a greater power, right? Jesus, well, let me say it this way. How many of you guys would appreciate the sun to come out just a little bit more than it has been? Anybody around here would like maybe the temperature dial to go up a few notches so that it's maybe in the 70s instead of in the 50s? Okay, so I have a question for you. How many of you have the power to change that? Because I need to get in touch with you. How many of you have the power to change the weather? And you'll have the power to change the weather in 5 years, Stephen? Okay. Okay, let me know when you do that, because I want to have the hookups on the weather changing thing. How many of you know that when Jesus was in the boat and there was a storm, and what did he say? He got out of the front of the boat, and what did he say? He said, what? Be still. And he changed the weather. Who else changed the weather? These are not the things that are real easy to change. Who else changed the weather? Nobody else changed the weather. What about this? When the disciples were in the boat and they're halfway across the lake, Jesus decided to catch up to them. Instead of walking around to the other side of the lake, he just decided to kind of just take a shortcut across the lake. Who else do you know that's been able to do that since? Can't think of anybody. Not only did he have the power to walk on water, but then he also had the power when Peter called him from in the boat and said, hey, Jesus, can I come to you? He had the power to make solid the water that Peter was going to walk on. Are you kidding me? Not only did he make solid his own water, but then he made solid Peter's water for him too. What? That's crazy. That's power, okay? That is power, power, wonder-working power. Don't sing the song. But that was my I'm sick. Give me a break. Start calling you Gidget just because. We're not even done yet, right? He also happened to feed like 4,000 men with a sack lunch, right? That's pretty impressive. Who else has done that? Yes. The ultimate power, Leighton brought it up, so I'm going to talk about it, so look up here. Here's the ultimate power. The Bible says this in the book of John. The Bible says, not only did Jesus do all of those things, but it says, Jesus had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to take it up again. In fact, the truth is, nobody took Jesus' life from him. Nobody had power of death over Jesus, nobody. Not the guys who nailed him to the cross, not the guys who stabbed him with the spear, not the guys who were going to break his legs if he wasn't already dead. Jesus laid his life down. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it up again. And that was evidenced by the fact that he rose from the dead, right? He had the power. Jesus had the power. And here's the secret of all of this, right? And you guys already know this, so this is going to be obvious for you. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He has the power. He has the power. So here's the question, though. Do any of us have power? Do any of us have that kind of true power, eternal power, the kind of power that changes things, changes people from the inside out, changes things that are eternal instead of temporal, that are extraordinary instead of normal, superpower? Let's see what the Bible has to say. I think I have some of these on a slide, right? When your marker's set, go. In Judges chapter 14, it says this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. By the way, this is Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. Any of you see the lion in the slide? Want to do a little hand-to-hand combat, like ninja style against the lion? Go at it with the lion? Go for it. I want to see that. Tore with a bare hand. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. I've got a question for you. How many of you have been changed into a different person? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are not quite sure what this means. Changed into a different person, and this means all kinds of things, right? It says in Romans that when you're baptized, with Christ, you die and Christ comes alive in you, or you live with Christ, or he is in control and you are not. You are a new creation. Jesus, when he was talking to one of the Pharisees, said, you will be born again. You're a new person, a new creation. There's a newness with you. And this is the kind of power that nobody else gets, right? The president cannot make you into a new person. Will you go back to the previous slide? The president cannot make you into a new person. And here's the thing. Watch this now. The kid who's bullying you cannot make you into a new person. Your friends cannot make you into a new person. Listen to this, young people. Look at me. When you get married, the person you marry, you cannot make them into a new person. Right? It is said that guys and girls get married, and girl marries the guy thinking he'll change, and he doesn't. And the guy marries a girl thinking she won't change, but she does. Just change, just different. Here's the thing. New person, you can't do that. There isn't any of us in here. There's no one in this room that can go out and grab a stranger off the street and preach to him or something, whatever happens, and make them into a new person. It's a Messiah complex if you think you can. You cannot. You cannot. The Spirit does that. He has the power. We'll move on. Lord, help me, I have to pronounce this word. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10. When they arrived at Gibeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
Gibeah. Lord, help us. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined them prophesying. Ooh, wouldn't that be cool? I want to join a group prophesying. I think that would be fun. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this is what you're thinking. Okay, PC, yeah, this is great and all, but what the heck does this have to do with anything from anything? Right? Nod your heads if you're with me. Elbow your neighbor and say, wake up, for crying out loud. Here's the deal. And this is the part I want you to get in your heart and in your soul, right? Jesus has the power because Jesus is God, but Jesus has given it to you. Flip with me. You've got your Bibles. John chapter 14. Say John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you like the new Bibles? I just got the new Bibles here. John chapter 14. I don't think it sounds as good. John chapter 14, starting in verse 5. John chapter 14, starting in verse 5. Hey, would you guys mind, I don't know, sitting up a little? For heaven's sake. John chapter 14, starting in verse 5. Did I say 5 or did I mean 12? I don't know what I meant. John chapter 14. I'm gonna go with starting in verse 5, and we'll get to that. That's like the highlight verse. We'll get to that. John chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 5. What page? 749. Here we go. Reading the word of God. And all of God's children went silent while God's word was read. Amen. Reading the word of God. This is Jesus, and he's hanging out with his disciples, right? And here's how this goes. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? It's a good question, right? So look up here. This is what's going on. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples, children in the back row. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples because he's leaving, and he knows he's leaving, right? He was only with them for a short time, 3 years or so, and he's already leaving, and his disciples are like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. You just got here. We're just starting to get this thing rolling. Don't you know that you could be the king? Let's go. And Jesus is like, I don't know what you're talking about. I got to bounce. So, chapter 14, starting in verse 5, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Famous. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Then he goes further and says, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever he asks in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me anything in my name and I will do it. Amen. So this is the part that gets awfully confusing, and I'm about to start preaching here, so get with it. Here's the thing. People go, I don't get it. Jesus says you can do whatever you want, right? We can do whatever we want. We just got to pray in his name, and he'll do whatever we ask. He's with the Father. The Father's with him. He's God. God's him. All together. They're all one. We get it. Okay, God left. Jesus left. He left us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here. We got the Holy Spirit. We got saved. We're ready. We're going. All we got to do now is figure out what's the key to unlock the power. Because I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I pray and something doesn't happen. Like, I don't get it. Do I have it or don't I have it? And the answer is yes. You have it and you don't have it. Here's the thing. We expect things that he doesn't expect. We do things that he doesn't love. We hang out with people that he's not impressed with. We go places he doesn't want us to be. And then we pray and say, Lord, change this thing. And he's saying, get your butt out of your will and get it in my will, and I'll do what you've asked. And we go, but... I'm telling you. You have the power. You have more power than the president. I'm just saying. You have more power than the president. You can do things that are eternal, and he cannot. You have more power than the army or the navy. You can do things that are eternal, and they cannot. All they can do is temporal stuff. And it's good stuff, and it's important stuff, but they don't have the kind of power you have. Because they don't have the supernatural power of God to work miracles and do wonders and do amazing things. And here's the thing. So look up here. PC, are you telling me that I have the power to heal people? Yes, I am. I hadn't thought about that, had you? Are you telling me that I have the power to do signs and wonders? Yeah, look at the disciples. Look at the disciples. When Peter first preached, Jesus took off, right? He died, then he rose again. Amen? You're awake, sort of. He rose again. He hung out with some people. He preached to some people. He restored Peter. And then he went off to heaven. He got on the ladder and he went off to heaven. And he's hanging out at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us because he loves us. And here's the thing. He left and then it broke loose. You thought it was going on when Jesus was here, but he said, I left on account of you because I can't be everywhere, but my spirit will be, and you'll do more things than I've done, greater things than I've done. And to evidence that, I'm going to set Peter loose. He's going to be on fire, and he's going to preach, and thousands are going to come to know me today. It was unbelievable. Tongues of fire came upon the disciples, and Peter, he preached one sermon, and thousands came. And you got to imagine, there's 100 people in this room, and they're all getting excited and pumped up, and there's these thousands of people down below, and they think all hell's breaking loose, right? And it is, literally, because the hell that was in them is leaving, and the spirits of darkness that were in them were leaving, and they were getting baptized, and all those people are headed down to the river to get baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. It was power. Do we have that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But what does Peter have that we don't have? He spent time with Jesus. Are we spending time with Jesus? It says that when the disciples went to pray, they were walking along literally, and their shadow would fall on people, and the shadow of the disciples was healing people. Paul says in all kinds of places, Paul says, I came and preached, but I didn't just come and preach. I came and preached with power and with miracles. I did amazing things, not for my glory, but for God's glory, and not so that God could get some kind of funny glory so that everybody would bow down to him, so that people would notice, oh my heaven, something amazing just happened. Let's go find out what it is. It's the power of God. He didn't just come and talk. He did amazing things. And when I first showed up here, this is one of the things that I talked about. And we haven't seen anyone raised from the dead yet. But we've seen people set free. We've seen people healed. We've seen people whose destiny was hell, and their destiny was changed to heaven. We've seen supernatural. We just don't recognize it. There is power. It is set upon us to do things. So the question is, do I have the power? And if I do, what do I do with it? Do I have the power? And if I have it, what do I do with it? And the answer is, the power is there. It's available. Jesus made that very clear to us. I leave for you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to give you guidance. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you the ability to heal. He's going to be able to give you the ability to walk among scorpions and not be struck with illness, to be bit by snakes and not be killed. He's going to give you the ability to walk through nations and not suffer all of the things that everybody else is suffering. He's going to give you supernatural power to do amazing things. And if you talk to a missionary for 0.5 seconds, you're going to hear some stories about somebody who was supposed to be sick, who didn't get sick, who was supposed to die, but didn't die. Some tribal chief, some chief's son, somebody somewhere. If you talk to Mr. Bridges, you're going to hear story upon story about people in Haiti who were set free from illnesses and nobody could explain why, except they knew why. And it wasn't for the people who did that. It wasn't for their glory. It was for the glory of God, because you know why? People's lives were changed. The miracles that happened in the New Testament church, the miracles that happened there, it says that they happened so that God would get the glory, so that his word would be spread. Let me show you what I mean. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has given you power, and you know why? He's given you power because he wants you out there telling your friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ. There is a power greater than any other power, and you're tapped into it. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you're tapped into me, if you abide in me, you will have my power. It will flow from you. Quit making excuses about it. and then do what he said, you will have power to be my witnesses. Why did God give us power? He wanted us to go and share the gospel. It's pretty straightforward. Share the gospel. We have true power so that we can be his witnesses. And how do you be his witness? Well, there's a bunch of different ways. There's 1,000 ways, right? The best kind of witnessing is when people come to you and want to know about Jesus, right? That's the easy way to do it. You live your life for Christ and people notice the change. But here's the thing. It's really hard to live your life every day, day after day, all day long, and give glory to God. Everything you do, you give glory to God. When you're in math class, you're giving glory to God. When you're in the hallway, you're giving glory to God. When you're in PE, you're giving glory to God. When you're in the locker room and people are saying stupid stuff, you're giving glory to God. When you're out in the parking lot and they're all talking about where they're going to go this weekend, you're giving glory to God. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you give glory to God. And then people all of a sudden are like, you're different. And sometimes they go, dude, you're different. Like, but that's okay, right? Doesn't matter because you give glory to God and then. What does he say in John chapter 14? Let's see, start in verse, 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. He will unlock it in you. He'll unlock it in you to do greater things because he wants you to be his witness. Here's the other thing about the power. We have the power to heal people. And this is the thing, so look up here. When you think of healing, you think of the supernatural kind of healing, right? The kid fell off the building and it broke his arm and it's like this weird looking crazy fracture and somebody comes and lays hands on him and straightens his arm out. Or you think about how Jesus did it, right? He healed the blind people. He put his hand on people who were blind and they became seeing, or he did some weird thing with some mud and put it on some guy's eye and he becomes seeing, or he touches the leper and he's cleansed of leprosy. He heals people. And we think of those things and we think that is amazing. I want some of that. You know why? Because we want our own glory, because that's cool stuff. But that's not always the kind of healing we're talking about. In fact, today, if you have that broken arm, weird thing, what? You go to the emergency room and they fix you up, right? God does not have to do a supernatural miracle in order to heal people of leprosy. Why? We don't even have leprosy. He doesn't need some kind of anointed healer to come and place his hand on a child who has malaria. Why? We don't have malaria here. We go to the hospital. Now, not all of us have healing from the hospital. There are still people who are broken and wounded and have all kinds of various sicknesses. I myself, currently ill, right? Can he heal us of that? Yeah, he can. But that's not the only kind of healing. So watch this. Focus. I'm almost done. There's a whole other kind of healing that he's real serious about. And that's the healing of spirits and souls. It's the spirit and the soul that's broken in this place. It's the spirit and the soul that's broken at your high school. It's the spirit and the soul that's broken at your 4-H club or at the grocery store or wherever it is that you run into people and they're broken inside and you can see it. They don't have a broken collarbone. Their leg isn't dislocated. But they're broken in their spirit. They're broken in their soul. They have emotional trauma. And they have spiritual lostness. I just coined a word. Everybody laugh. You guys are still asleep, aren't you? They're spiritually lost. They're broken in their spirits. And this part we can do. This part we can fix. We may not be laying hands on blind people and seeing them have sight, but we may be praying with people who are lost and broken and seeing them find their way to Jesus, the healer of all. So, do you have power? Five of you have power. Do you have power?
Yes.
Yeah. So what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? There's a couple things we need to do with the power we have, right? Thing one, we need to be his witnesses. We need to be his witnesses. That's what he asked us to do with the power we have. We need to be his witnesses. Thing two, we need to help to heal the broken and the lost. We can do amazing things. Don't limit yourself. Don't think about the things that you've done in the past and think, well, I can only do this much because it's all I've ever done before. Shut up. I can only get this far because it's all the farther I've ever been before. And there's some of us in the room, some of us that are adults, that are saying, well, this is all well and good, but I can only go this far because that's all the farther I've ever been before. And God's saying, no, you can do more. You can be more. You can unleash my power in ways that you hadn't thought of before. There's an amazing... That's an air freshener, by the way. Makes a very odd sound. Only when it's quiet can you hear it. So that means only when I'm not preaching means we're being good. Let me read to you Romans chapter 10, verse 17, real quick. It says, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If you want to be his witnesses, you need to bury his word in your heart, because that's how you witness. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 said, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, which is a real word, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Power. God-given power. God-given power. So here we are again at the end of this place, or at the end of this thing, where we have this choice to either go out the door the way we came in, or go out the door and think and pray and really get a sense of what God is trying to do among us. Because we serve a gracious God who gives good gifts. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. A gracious God who wants us to be full of life and energy, not just to be alive, but to live life to the fullest, not just to be awake, but to be full of joy, to have peace as we go to sleep. We serve a God who loves us unconditionally, a God who wants amazing things from us. He has given us good gifts. So the question is, what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? So the expectation is you don't do anything. Because after all, you're just teenagers. Apparently you're good with that. Okay. I'm sorry, you're not good with that? Leave it to the, you know what? Leave it to the girls who got their accommodation for the Awana Awards. That's amazing. That's right. And here's the story. Yes. Praise the Lord for that, right? Here's the story. This is the expectation that the world has for you, because after all, you are only teenagers. So look at me. You can accept the expectations. You can accept the fact that most of you have lived a life that you don't look back on and think, wow, this is a joyride. Most of you look back at the life that you're living and say, this is really hard. It's not really easy. And you say, because this life is hard, the expectations on me are low. As long as I can carry on and sort of at least maintain the little bit of momentum I have going, well, that's pretty good. No! Wake up! That is not okay. Snap out of it. Expect more. Desire more. Love more. You knew it was coming. How long have you been with me? You just get one shot out of that one. Now that you're all... That was awesome. Now that you're all awake, look! Look! The world expects nothing from you. Are they right?
No.
Are they right?
No.
That whole row thinks that they're right. So y'all preach to them later. They're not right. You guys can do amazing things. You can turn the world upside down. You can do extraordinary. Here's the thing. Ready? Look at me. Most of the disciples, when they started following Jesus, most of them were your age. What? Seriously? Yes. Most of them were teenagers when they started following Jesus. They were your age. You can do amazing things. So make a decision right now. Make a decision. Are you going to go on doing normal teenage nonsense? The highlight of your high school career is going to be the time you went to acquire the fire? Or are you going to do amazing things for Jesus? And the high school, your highlights of your high school years are going to be the people that you left behind that are now serving Jesus who weren't before. The people that you left behind that are now healed because they were broken. They're going to be the relationships with the people that you didn't even think that you wanted to know. Some of you are connecting and you're hearing this, and some of you, it's lost on you. But let it sink in. You can do more. You can do more. It's not about my strength or my might, but it's by the power of the Spirit that lives in you. We're going to pray. Will you turn out the lights for me? We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask some people to make a commitment to do something. To do something. For some of you, something has to change. The power structure in your life is all about who's on top. What's the pecking order? How cool am I? Am I cooler than that person or are they cooler than I am? That's not power. That's nonsense. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's ask a mighty God to do an amazing thing here, to change the lives of teenagers so that they can change Lake County. This isn't just about you, and it's not just about me. Holy God, we love you, and we are thankful. We are thankful, Lord, because you give good gifts. We have the gift of salvation. We have the gift of your love. We have the gift of peace in our hearts. We have the gift of joy that you have given us, the supernatural joy that we don't even understand. We have the gift of the people in this place that are good to us, because this is a safe place. This is our refuge. This is our spot where we can breathe you in. You have given us good gifts, gifts of other people around us that love us, extraordinary.